Got me now. Hallelujah. Let me try that again. What a pretty picture, huh?
Yes.
What an awesome time this is. Man, I tell you, this last part of the teaching for me this trip, let me tell you, this was the hardest one for me to get through. It probably should be the easiest one. But to sit there and, you know, what are you going to say? What more can I say? What he has already done for us. And where he brought us from and where we are now. Let me tell you, I was overwhelmed this morning because, you know, I'm going over the message. I'm trying my hardest to, you know, yeah, what do you want me to say? Because I could sit here and talk for an hour and a half. But this morning I was sitting there, and you know, we're gonna bless him with our first of our increase, my wife and I. But it felt like something I was missing because I needed something more. Because what did he say in the scripture? Much is given, much is required. So I was thinking this morning, I said, man, and you know, father-in-law's hurting over there, and wasn't sure if he was gonna make it today. And just going through, sitting there, spending time with him, I got a chance to sit one-on-one by myself. You know, this morning. And I looked outside and I started thinking, you know, because the other day we passed, I saw a death and the pastor left because that was death. And death was still raining today. It's still in the world today. But Yeshua said the last enemy to be put down will be death. It has a payday coming. Boy, I tell you, so this morning I was looking outside. And just as I'm talking to you, I can hear it in my ears. I went out there this morning. You know, we're in the Shemitah cycle. We want to honor that to the best of our ability. I walked out there this morning. I don't have any first fruit out there. Granny, that was beautiful what you did. But I didn't, you know, because as soon as I was on the bush, we picking. Because we don't have time. We want to wait, but... I told them, well, we got blueberries up there right now. They're ready to pick because if not, they're going to get ripe. They're going to fall off. So we don't want to waste it. So what I did, I said, oh, I need something. So I went out there. I walked our property this morning. And I cut a limb, a leaf, over every part of our fruit tree, every part of what we got growing in the garden to honor for him because he's about life. He knows what every leaf in here is. And when Granny brought that, that was just backup confirmation when I saw that, because he's about life. There's not a dead leaf in here. Some might be a little scorched, a little bit, a little parched because of the sun, but they're still alive. And I think about that. We go through life. We get scorched up. We might go through a little something, but you're still alive. You're still here. I just wanted to share that. So this is part of my wave offering this morning about life. Because why? As I bless him, I need that duality. I need that blessing to come back down. And for him to bless our garden, our land. We needed the rain. We've got the rain. Now we need the sunshine. Well, Lord, I'm so thankful. My heart is full this morning. Amen. You know, but there's so much I can go on to. But I'm going to share some stuff. But I'm not going to keep you here long. Because you know what? I want to rejoice. This is a time of rejoicing. Yes. This is what we're here for. We're here to rejoice. But look, there's so many today that are gathering for the wrong reason. I know they gathered because they said, well, today is the day he arose. That's what their churches are gathering around the world. They're packed. People are getting baptized. Everything's happening today. Yeshua said, let's look at something. Tell you what, this really touched me. This was the hardest one. Because everybody's looking for a sign these days. That's what the world wants. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit is good. Or else, make the tree rotten and the fruit is rotten. For a tree is known by its fruit. You know, we don't have a power today to make a tree rotten. That don't even make no sense. But in some people's mind, when you don't read, let the scriptures speak to you or minister to you, you think about a tree outside. But he's talking about you. You can make yourself good or you can make yourself rotten. And how you do that? You want to make it rotten? Fill yourself with leaven. You'll rot from the inside out. You won't look good. You won't act right. But he said, if you make the tree good, I tell you. He said, brood of adders, how are you able to speak what is good being wicked? If you're rotten from the inside, you ain't speaking good things coming out of your mouth. For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. Because that's where it stems from. That's where that ground is at. It comes out the heart. And when it comes out the heart, it ain't good. Trust me, I hear conversation when I'm on the boat, when I'm at work, I can tell what's in the heart. You listen to the speech. A good man brings forth what is good from the good treasure of his heart. This is what we're doing today. We bring from the good treasure of our heart. Because trust me, if it ain't from your heart, if you got aught against your brother, what he said, leave your gift and go make it right. Go make it right. Then come back and offer. He wants your offering, trust me. He wants you to bless him because he wants to bless you. He wants you to be faithful. That's the thing. He wants you to be obedient. And the wicked man brings forth what is wicked from his wicked treasure. I say to you, this is Yeshua's word, that from every idle word men speak, they shall give an account of it in the day of judgment. Remember, that day is coming. We can't lose sight of that. So we're going to jump on that in just a little bit. I got some encouraging words. Shaul said, encourage one another with these words. He said, for by your words you shall be declared righteous. And by your words you shall be declared unrighteous. What powerful words of Yeshua. If we just take the time and read his words, what is he talking about? And then some of the Pharisees answered, teacher, here we go. We wish to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the stomach of the great fish, so shall the son of Adam be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He said 3 days and 3 nights. Now, in my little time, I went home and I said, well, that's 72 hours. Because Yeshua said that's 12 hours in the day and that's 12 hours in the night. So that's 24 hours. He said it could be, so 3 days and 3 nights is 72 hours. You can do the math. But the man's tradition, the world says, just want you to know the scripture. We put him in the tomb on Friday, and this morning we're raising him because he's got to raise. That's the problem with tradition. It doesn't match the words of Yeshua. And we have to know how to answer people sometimes. And look, it might not sound good. It's just what it is, the truth. You want to be delivered, you tell them the truth, no matter what it costs. It's just what it is. And sometimes it may come out a little harsh, or it might sound a little rough. That's all right. He just called him a brood of adders. So in man's tradition, if I give them 2 days, we're still losing 24 hours. So it's not adding up to what Yeshua said. But the world is gathering today around the world. They're gathering for just this one particular day. I got my own family, some of my own family getting baptized today. You know what I told them? I said, make sure you're doing it for the right reason. I sure hope you are. I sure hope that when you apply the blood upon the doorpost of your heart, that you make, I said, do you even know what that, you know why? I even explained it. I said, you know when they did that? That made the letter het in the Hebrew. And it's a fence. It separates those from inside the house, those from outside the house. I said, how many got saved outside the house? I said, how many got saved outside of the ark when Yehovah shut the door? I said, out of the whole world, only 8 souls made it. So I said, when you do stuff, hey, I'm all for it. My cousin, if you want to get baptized, go ahead and get baptized. I'm good for that. But make sure you're doing it for the right reason. That was just a little something that I thought it was very good to look at. Because Yeshua said it. Like I said, the world has a system. And if you get caught in that system, let me tell you, it's very hard to get out of that system. I want to just skip a little bit here because we want to get back to the worshiping. I love that was great. We needed that. Slide 16. Yeah. When we consider this is slide 16. Like I said, there's so much we can talk about. When we consider the picture graph for this. The word that means parable, we're talking about parables here, when you go back and read the slide, we're able to recognize the following decree being declared: cleansing by the washing of the word of the shepherd's work of redemption. Because we know that he had to speak to the people with parables. Our master and good shepherd came to cleanse us through the washing of his word by coming in the flesh and revealing to us the arm of Yehovah. That's what he wants to do. Once you get introduced to him and you meet him, he wants to show you his father. That's what the word does. And his word and the revelation thereof is given to us in order to know the secrets of the reign of Elohim. For the light is for those who are in the house, not outside. As we ought to be a light to them. As we study and meditate on the Torah and are diligent in obeying the clear instructions of Elohim, and as we guard to keep his appointed times, we are enabled to understand the clear lessons that the feast of Yehovah teach us, as the parables that are contained therein are made plain to us who are in Messiah. Trust me, you'll understand when he speaks. We know that. I knew this morning when I just read that little passage, he's not talking about trees outside. He's talking about you and I. How our character is, how we should act, and how we should walk before him. With that being said, we can therefore understand that the sheaf of the first fruits and day seven of matzah are also very clear parables of Messiah. Parables that are perfectly told through the clear instructions that are to be guarded and done as they establish for us the proper timing that reflect the work of our Master. Sadly, there are many who are blinded to the importance of the appointed times of Yehovah, and a veil remains over their eyes when Moshe is read, while those who have turned to the Master, the veil of ignorance is taken away. We, when you read that, you already know where that goes take you back to. And with the people, I mean, Moshe got to put a veil on his face because he's showing it being the presence of Yehovah. How awesome that was. Let's go back to Matthew. Why are we pointing out the parables? Let's go see. Let's go to chapter 13. And looking at verse 10, he said, and the taught ones came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answering said to them, because it has been given to you to know the secrets of the reign of the heaven. Man, now what a revelation that we get to know the secrets of the reign of the heaven. Because why? When he's going to reign, there's going to be no more secrets. To some people, this language is foreign. But to those who follow him, it's not a secret anymore. It was a secret. I was so thankful for the revelation that we get now. But to them, it has not been given. But whoever possesses, to him more shall be given. And to him who and he shall have overflowingly. But whoever does not possess, even what he possesses shall be taken away from him. We know that's what happened with the talent. If you have a talent, use it. But use it for the right reason. Use it for him. To edify him. Like I said, I didn't bring no fruit this morning. But I cut a leaf. And I said, yeah, I need an increase from you. Because all we did was plant and water. But I can't make it grow. Only life comes from him. And it's what we want to do with this life that we live in now. You can either be a good tree or you can be a bad tree. And you, and it'll tell on you because the fruit is going to tell. Because of this, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see. And hearing, do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Yeshayahu is completely filled, which says, hearing, you shall hear, and by no means understand, and seeing you shall see, and by no means perceive. For the heart of the people has become thickened. I got to look at that word. I want to share this with y'all. And the eyes are hard of hearing. The ears are hard of hearing, not the eyes. The ears are hard of hearing. and their eyes have closed. Boy, I tell you, when you're so excited, words just jump out and you... The ears of hard of hearing and the eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn back and I heal them. Amen. We need healing. Some of us, look, we're broke. We are brokenhearted. We need healing. But we look, when people share with one another, we can't let the pride and the leaven puff up in us and think we know it all, because we don't. I don't. I promise you. I was telling Brother Chad this morning that I got to a section of the slides. I had to mark right here in my notes to skip over because I know it, but I don't know it. I'm not skilled enough yet to want to mention it. No, well, I'm not a know-it-all. And trust me, especially in this short amount of time, I'm really not a know-it-all. But I'm thankful. Amen. That's the thing. I was so thankful. Was I nervous? You better believe it. Let's look at that word thicken in verse 15. In the King James, it says wax gross. The heart of people wax gross. In the Greek, it's G3975. Pakuno. You can go look it up. It says to make thick, to make fat, fatten. This next word, I'm going to spell it out for y'all grown-ups. It's to make S-T-P-U-I-D. I really don't want to say it. To render the soul dull or callous. Man, it makes your heart dull. You don't want to hear it. No matter how much you say it. Look, people's like that. The world is like that. We should not be that way. Our heart should be good ground to receive word, receive correction, receive truth. No matter where it comes from, who it comes from. If it's the truth, let it minister to you. Let it be sown in your heart. But if it's not truth, this is why I broke this out like this. Because what did Yeshua say? 3 days I'll be here, not 2.5 days. Or not 2 days. In the Hebrew, it means it's H. 8082, they got the word fat right there, is semen. It's where we get the root word semen. It means greasy, i.e. gross. Figuratively rich, fat, lusty, plenteous. Because people that get that way, they won't accept it. They won't accept it. Ugh. Trust me, ask my wife this morning, she'll tell you. Say, babe, you're fussing with them. I'm not fussing with them. But it gets me angry from the inside because you weren't even trying to listen. I'm just trying to reason. I'm not trying to tell you that I'm smarter than you. I'm trying to reason with you. But when your heart is gross and dull and callous, you won't let you allow the seed to be planted on good ground. Shame on us. It goes to another root word, saman, or saman. We get a root word. It's H-80-80. Oily or gross, become, make wax, fat, to become fat, grow fat. He's talking about the heart, Papa Stoppa. I know you see my shirt, but don't think shirt. It's fat substance to make fat, show fatness. You know when that junk gets all around your heart? It keeps pressure on your heart. And you get a heart disease. It's called leaven. It's called pride. It's called arrogance. These things can creep in on you. This is why this week, this one was the hardest one for me, unleavened. Because that stuff you can't allow it to creep in. Just a little leaven. You know what I heard this morning? Oh, I'm not celebrating Easter, but I bought my grandkids some eggs. That's a little leaven. I'm sorry. That's a little leaven. Because we know, we've learned, I'm not trying to go through all that, but we know where that comes from. We know where it stems from. I said, you know what I told them? I said, Easter's not even in the Bible. Why? Go look at the history where it comes from. Why you want to preach something or say something? That didn't come from Yeshua. That didn't come from Yehovah. He speaks against it. But that's why people gather today. Around the world, churches are full. I mean, something was said last night. You know what? I went on the internet this morning. I could have found hundreds of teachings on this. And blessed are your eyes, verse 16, because they see. And your ears, because they hear. Blessed are your eyes and your ears that you hear, still here today, to hear and see. For truly I say to you, many prophets and many righteous ones longed to see what you see and did not see it, and hear the word you hear and did not hear it. I read that, and that to me, Yeshua, that he's saying that can go both ways. Those before his time and those after his time. How awesome that would be. And you wake up one morning or one evening or during the night when he decides to return, when you hear that sound and your eyes see the redemption coming. Paul, I tell you what. Well, how incredible it would be alive in that time that you can see salvation. And we're going to jump at that. Because look, I had something in my notes. I scratched it out. I said, that don't fit in there. But after this morning, after being here and wanting to rejoice, because my heart is so full, because I mean, I can go on. But I want to rejoice because this is rejoicing time. For not only he has risen, but never to die again. And you know, that was a big thing going on in Corinthians with Paul. I'm not going to get into it. Go read it for yourself. It's in my notes. And matter of fact, it's 1 Corinthians 15. And there was arguing amongst themselves. There's no resurrection for the dead. And some say there is resurrection. Paul said, look, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then what are we here for? Why are we preaching Yeshua raised? If there's no resurrection, he said, we might as well eat and drink and party and be done with it. Because he said, if that's our life, then we are all men most miserable. Amen. Party it up, live it up. If we think that's what living today is all about. This is what was going on in Corinthians. But I want to read Thessalonians right quick. It's Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There's a day coming. And what a day that's going to be. He said, now, brother, I do not wish you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you be sad as others who have no expectation. That's some people that are sad. Because death is sad. We know that. Yeshua, look, his own friend Lazarus. But I like what he told us. I like what he said. Woman, I am the resurrection and the life. Huh? And we know that to be true because what happened? The scripture said when he raised, after his resurrection, many came about the grave after him. Uh-huh. He was the first fruit of all creation. It says, for I believe that Yeshua died and rose again, so also Elohim shall bring with him those who sleep. Trust me, if y'all don't see me next year, or if I don't see y'all next year or next week, whatever it may be, don't worry, I'll see you there. That's what my hope is this morning. That's what my trust is at in him. And that's all we have. He left us his word. He said, I'm not leaving you comfortless either. He said, I'm going to give you a set apart spirit that's going to lead you and guide you through what? Through here. The least in God is in life's journey. But we got to take him at his word. We got to do what he asks us to do. Even when it don't seem right. Because our minds can't, they get squirrely sometimes. And we chase squirrels. Well, this I say to you by the word of the master. Who? Not me. By the word of the master. This is Paul saying. This is not by Paul's words. People say, well, what Paul said. Paul said by the word of the master. That we, the living, who are left over. Look, you're not left out. But we know the dead. We're going to catch up to them. So if you got a lost loved one in the ground who died in Yeshua and who in Yehovah, whatever you want, whatever how the funeral was preached, one day you'll see him again or her again. The leftover at the coming of the master shall by no way go before those who are asleep. What he said? You ain't gone before them. They're going to raise as first fruits. And you'll be raised as first fruits. Then we, the living who are left over, shall be caught away together with those in the clouds to meet the master in the air. And so shall we always be with the master. Hallelujah. So then encourage one another with these words. Hallelujah. Let me wrap this up so we can get back to rejoicing. Because it's not, I'm sorry, that's 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. I had scratched this out of my nose, but I'm going to put this right back in. Because look, I'm going to wrap this up. Because we want to get back to rejoicing. We want to offer to him our first fruits. We want to wave to him. We want to go enjoy ourselves. Because this is a day of rejoicing. We had plenty of word. If you ain't full of word right now, don't worry. Don't worry. The teacher's coming. Uh-huh. You're going to get it. He's on his way. I talked to him this morning. He's on his way. And I promise you, he ain't going to say nothing different. Oh, man. Let's get this wrapped up. And this I heard, and after this is John speaking, Yohanan. Y'all can say it with me. You'll get to the part. And after this, I heard a loud voice. Oh, Revelation 19. I'm sorry. I'm telling right. I'm excited. I really am. Hey, Laura, when we come down to rejoice, get out your seats. Come right here. Let's worship together. Revelation 19:1. And after this, I heard a loud voice of a great crowd in the heavens saying, hallelujah! Deliverance and esteem and power and respect and power to Yehovah our Elohim, because the true and righteous and all his judgments, because he had judged the great whore who has corrupted the earth with a whoring, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Look, the world think they got your loved one, but they really don't. Listen, every time I talk to my children, I know they're out there. That's not what the word says. I'm claiming them for the kingdom. Because I love my children. I probably didn't do right before, but I'm doing right by their behalf now. And I need them to see that and know that. And because the world has lied to them. Just like it has lied to you and I. And he's trying to lie and deceive. We know that where that comes from. That's not a good fruit. And the second time, they said, hallelujah! And a smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped Elohim, who sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah! Boy, I tell you what, y'all getting it. And a loud voice came from the throne, saying, praise our Elohim, all you his servants, and all those who fear him, both small and great. Old, young, middle age, does it matter? I know not the little babies, they don't know better. But trust, there come a time they know. And they give praise to Elohim. He says, and I heard a loud voice of a great crowd, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thunder singing, hallelujah! For Yehovah Elohim El Shaddai reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him praise, for the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and his wife prepared herself. Have you come prepared this morning? Prepare yourself, because you are the bride of Messiah. and many others out there today in the world. I know that you're gathering, and I believe some of them, their heart is right. And you'll be gathered. Look, he said, in the remaining matters, I'm going to set straight when I come. You'll be given an opportunity to come in under his banner, under his teaching, uncut, unadulterated. He's going to say them words. I don't want to say them, but he'll say them. He's got every right. And to her was given to be dressed in fine linen. We learned that. Did we just not read all this? We learned all this stuff. Clean and bright. For the fine linen is of the righteousness of the set apart ones. That's you and I. And he said unto me, write, blessed are those who have been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these words, these are true words of Elohim. Not of Yohanan, not of John, not of Paul. These are true words of Elohim. Hallelujah. He said, and John said, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see, do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brothers who possess the witness of Yeshua. This is why you're here. Worship Elohim, for the witness of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. And this is why we gather. Man, I tell you what. I scratched that out. Hey, man, just this morning we were saying, we were talking, and you know, my wife said, babe, you know what? Maybe we should be rejoicing. I said, you know what? You're right. It's good to hear a little good advice. So I have more, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to stop right there. And let's offer up together our praise of thanksgiving. Like I said, and take the word with us. And let our heart, like I said, during this time, there's still a few days of unleavened bread. We're still going to be gathering. And look, enjoy every moment of it. It could be our last. This might be the last unleavened bread you have to meet here, right here in Faith Temple Ministry. Because what a day is going to come when you're going to sit down with him. What did he say? I'm not going to drink no more of the fruit of my time. Come and do it with you. Until you win the reign of my Father's reign. That's what he said. How awesome. What a day that's going to be. Thank you, Father.